Queens of Adventure is made possible through the support of listeners like you who support the show on Kickstarter and Patreon. Thanks to Season 1 sponsor, Russell Bloomdale. Previously on Queens of Adventure, the Kraken priest howls in fury and drops to one knee.
I'm just going to sort of like do like my best like spear jabby attack.
The heart is impaled at the end of your spear. Patrick says, that's highly irregular that the sea spawn would come out of the ocean outside of high tide. Something's very strange about the behavior of that creature. You head out onto the beach, making your way with the ghosts surrounding you. They're just surrounding the altar as the music's playing, dancing your way back towards your little circle of survivors from the Kraken Priest's lair. Among them, your friends Jim Jim, Patrick, and Cole, four other tourists from the Golden Palace, your long-lost companion Nomi, and a Glamazon cleric named Ellen. You can just make out the sharp scent of a thunderstorm heading your way.
There's a storm a-brewing. I feel it in my original bones.
And as you draw closer to the Golden Palace, that far-off rumble of thunder is accompanied by another sound, a cannon blast. Traveling south, along the beach, back to the Golden Palace, joined by the tourists you rescued from the lair of the Kraken Priest, as well as Karen and Sir Throbberdon, and the ghosts with the portable party from the Temple of Boom. You're nearing the Golden Palace now, with just a rocky outcropping blocking your view of the beach ahead. The sound of far-off thunder mixes with a muffled cannon blast, and then rounding the rocks, you see a battle raging on the beach before the Golden Palace. A mob of sea spawn are careening up out of the waves, hundreds more than you've ever seen. They scatter in every direction, no apparent target, attacking anything they encounter. Barricades, debris, even each other. A cluster of them zigzags towards the cabana that you defended, but from behind the counter, Lamont DuPont pops up and yells, "Fire!" From behind him, at the ruined Three Fingers Inn, Lear the bartender fires a cannon into the middle of the swarm, blowing the spawn apart into the waves, but another horde streams up and over them, flowing over the beach towards the damaged pirate ship playground. Sister Baccarat, in a feathered garb, swings down from the mast on a rope, kicking one sea spawn after another from the sides of the ship before she lands on the deck next to Carmela Lemaire. Carmela upends a tub of steaming hot tar over the side of the ship. And then at the far end of the beach, a disgusting squid-like sea spawn oozes over the wreckage of the lifeguard tower. Chernobyl bursts from a hiding place amidst the tower debris. Her arm is patched and reconstructed out of the same material as the palace's vault constructs, but she is strong enough to knock the sea spawn to the ground. They burst into slime and seawater. And Chernobyl ducks as a volley of arrows flies overhead. Looking up the steps of the Golden Palace, you see a wave of tourists charging down to the beach, led by Belfry. She is dressed for battle, with leather armor bound tight around her body. In one hand is a cutlass held aloft. Strapped around her wrist is a bracer of daggers. And in one quick motion, she flicks it, and a dagger flies through the air into a pufferfish sea spawn. And with a mighty yell, the tourists stream onto the beach, crashing against the mob. Belfry slices through the undead, mowing them down as she leads the attack toward the very front of the front lines. As you stare at the scene, there is a sickening gurgle behind you. A mob of sea spawns scramble up out of the waves and charge at you from the direction that you came. The tourists in your group are unarmed and terrified. Karen turns to you. We can get everyone to safety. Just give us some cover. And Throbberdon and Jim Jim surround the tourists and start heading for the Golden Palace through the battle. The gurgling sea spawn behind you are charging fast in your direction. Roll initiative.
Huh. Four.
I got a one.
I rolled a five.
Oh, gosh.
This is going to be fun. Oh, what, Ellen, what does she roll?
Oh, Ellen got a 17.
Okay, cool. So she's going to go first. I think.
Yay.
While we do this, is there any way that we can use that heart for something?
Yeah, I'd love to maybe ask Ellen if she has any ideas on how to hotwire this thing. Or,
right.
You know.
They obviously have still a connection to it in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it's still alive. The heart is, at least.
Mm-hmm. Throbbing.
Throbberdonning.
All right. Battle is raging all around you on the beach here, and the tourists are just escaping to safety, but they need you to hold back those sea spawn that are charging at you from the waves. It is going to be Ellen's turn first.
Ellen is going to whip out those three crystalline orbs again, and twirl them around and say, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And then with a second level spell slot is going to bless the entire party.
Yes.
Giving everyone an additional 1d4 on pretty much any roll for the next minute.
Okay, so Ellen has blessed the party, so you get a little bonus on your rolls.
Bless you.
She's going to move to the front of the group and get between them and the sea spawn.
All right, Ellen's standing her ground before the sea spawn, and next up in the order are those sea spawn. The first sea spawn lunges towards Ellen to bite her. Rolls a 14.
No. That doesn't hit.
The next one, undeterred, is like scrambling over the first one and lashes out at her. It's kind of got like a half squid body, and lashes out with her a tentacle. Rolls a 15.
That does not hit.
And then the third one pushes the first two aside and screams at the entire party, tries to hit Ellen one more time, and it's going to shoot a harpoon quill at her.
Yikes.
That's a 23.
Oh, yes. Ooh. That's a doozy.
Ellen's going to take 5 points of piercing damage and 1 point of poison damage.
Yikes. That's going to sting.
Ellen has taken a bit of damage from that attack. More sea spawn are swarming over the beach. The mob's growing thicker as they clamber out of the waves. People are screaming. There's cannon fire all around. It's Arson's turn next.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to behind the portable party.
Yes.
Porta party. And to the rest of the party, I'm going to shout, cover your ears. And I'm going to turn the volume on the portable party as loud as it possibly can go.
Yes.
Great.
Oh, could you use thaumaturgy to like amplify that?
Probably. It's not my turn.
I mean, it's not, but it's good to know.
I think I could do it on my voice. I don't know if I could do that on a porta party.
Arson, what is your goal here? What is your aim with it?
I want to use the like loud sound to either like damage the sea spawn or like keep them at bay and like keep that prevent them from coming closer or something like that.
You're just gonna play Smash Mouth and hope they go away.
Yes, on a loop.
Oh god.
Just play like the discography of Nickelback.
Ah! Oh.
Automatic fail on their con save. So the sea spawn are gonna do a con save to resist the throbbing pulsating music. And also behind you the ghosts are crowded around behind the portable party, and they are rocking out at this point. They're cheering. The sea spawn roll an 11 on their con save. That's a failure. They are quivering at their gelatinous bodies. You can see like the pulses, the vibrations of the music like wiggling through their bodies. And then the next attack on them is going to have advantage, and they'll have disadvantage on their next saving throw.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Next up is Freya.
Oh, what do I want to do?
Do something hella damage-y.
I mean, I kind of want to, but I also want to use Turn Undead. I mean, it'll work on them, right? It should.
Aren't they really?
They're undead, technically.
They are undead?
Yeah, so I'm going to use Turn Undead.
Okay. So to channel divinity for Turn Undead, you present your holy symbol. So describe to me how you're presenting.
So I have a new holy symbol, right? I have the Dark Lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to fish that Dark Lady out from underneath my bra, and I'm going to hold it up and say, "For the honor of Gay Skull, ho!"
Can all of us go clap, clap at the same time?
Freya, you hold it aloft, chant your incantation. The entire party, including Throbberdon and Jim Jim and all the ghosts behind you, all clap, clap. and a wave of power washes over the sea spawn that are menacing you. The ghosts that are behind you, as soon as that wave of energy washes out from you, they stagger backwards. They start to run back up the beach, because that turn undead is not great for them. But
does it push the ghosts back too?
It does push the ghosts back.
Oh, sorry guys.
But the sea spawn react even worse. The sea spawn fall backwards and are scrambling and clawing over each other to get back into the waves, but they just completely fall apart. They just dissolve into seawater and fish guts, and there's just a horrible steaming pile of entrails on the beach.
Oh my, what could have happened to my turn undead? That would made it that powerful.
Better work.
Well, and the gain's been turned up on the music, so even though the ghosts are away, they can still hear it and are feeling the music pretty hardcore.
They're still attached.
Baby shark, doo 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 doo.
They're not getting too far away, so they just have to like get back from Freya a little ways. But they're just sort of formed a perimeter around Freya of 30 feet.
Random out of game question. Do we know why they show up at high tide specifically? Or has that question been answered and I just forgot?
Isn't it because of the priest?
It was because of the Kraken priest, yeah.
Because that's when he would wake up and summon them.
Okay. So without the Kraken priest, then why are so many still coming up? I mean,
Yeah, it seems like they don't have someone to like tell them when to do anything.
So they're just going off of what they know?
Brains.
Freya, roll religion or arcana.
Nope, minus one. All right. 13 minus 1 is 12.
Yeah, so you remember what you were told about the Kraken priest basically commanding them, and the high tide being the time that Kraken priest's power is the most effective. And you can tell that these undead are essentially leaderless. They are just in a crazed frenzy right now with no particular aim.
Cool. All right, cool.
So now, with those sea spawn defeated, up ahead you can see the cabana and the Three Fingers Inn are getting overrun by another mob of sea spawn. You have Lamont DuPont defending the cabana, which has a lot of cover, and Lear is up at the Three Fingers Inn with the cannon, and the sea spawn are advancing on both locations. Which one do you want to head for?
Before we head out anywhere, I'm going to turn to Ellen and say, is there anything that we can do with that thumping heart that'll help us?
Well, you know, we don't have a lot of information on what exactly you can do with a Kraken priest's heart, but it does seem to still be having some sort of effect. You could certainly try. I'd be very curious to find out.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything I know how to do.
Is it still on the spear?
Yeah, I've just been like hanging out with a beating heart of my spear. Yeah, through the last couple moments.
Is there a way that we can... Well, so, sorry, which two locations are being sieged upon?
The cabana.
There's the cabana and the Three Fingers Inn. And Throbberdon puts his arm around Jim Jim and he says, "We've got to defend this beach. You pick one location, we'll take the other."
Oh, let's...
Should we bolt to the Three Fingers?
Let's bolt to the Three Fingers, and we also have some ranged attacks that we can use, so if shit goes to even more shit, we can also help out with the cabana if need be.
And also, my turn undead is starting to make things turn into a bowl full of jelly. So, like, wherever I go, 30 feet around me, there's just going to be piles of rubble.
Well, so that turn undead is you get one use.
Ah, shit. So it doesn't, like, last? It's just, like... It
doesn't last. It's just, like, a blast.
Yeah, thick.
Cool. Well, it sounds like we are in agreement. We're going to go to the Three Fingers Inn.
Okay. So you are going to try to reach the Three Fingers Inn, but there is a massive crowd of screaming, charging sea spawn between you and there. And we're going to do something a little different here. We're going to do a skill challenge. And the way this works is I'm going to ask you to look at the skills section of your character sheet. Tell me which skill you're going to use to get through the crowd of sea spawn and how you'll use it. Then we'll roll, and if you succeed, we'll put a mark in the success column. If you fail, we'll put a mark in the fail column, and you're trying to get three successes before you get three failures. If you get three successes, then the challenge overall is a success, and three failures, and you fail the challenge. Either way, you will make it to your destination, but what's waiting for you at the Three Fingers Inn will be different depending on whether you succeed or fail the skill challenge.
Cool.
Oh, my.
You could pick athletics and use that to push through the crowd and open an opening for everybody, or you could use acrobatics and then dodge and weave. In either cases, we'd roll and see if it succeeds or fails.
Cool.
And one last thing. Once you've used a skill, then you cannot use that skill again.
Mm. Okay.
What do you mean by you can't use that skill again?
Within that challenge. So if you use acrobatics, then you as a player cannot use acrobatics again for the skill challenge. Other people in the party can. And you, of course, use acrobatics after the skill challenge. But within the skill challenge, you can only use a skill one time.
Does the bless that was cast help us at all?
Yes.
Cool. Can we confer with each other on which skills we will be using? I have a really high intimidation, so I would like to spring for that first.
I've got a high nature, so I'm thinking I could use that to the different anatomies of the spawn to rip them apart with my fingers.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have high animal handling, athletics, insight, and medicine. So and I don't know how to use medicine against.
You could check their cholesterol.
Can I just give them a colonoscopy with my Triton?
I would allow it.
Okay.
Oh, medicine. Yes.
I'm a doctor.
What do you do?
I'll go ahead and start.
Yes.
Cool.
Intimidation.
Yeah, so I would like to use my intimidation skill, and the way I'd like to use that is by running straight for the Three Fingers in and... I guess, theoretically, the mob that's in front of it. And I'm going to wave my arms really wildly and bug my eyes out a little bit and, stick out my tongue and wave it and scream and also cross my eyes so that I look really scary.
You are a fearsome, screaming, flailing spider rushing across the beach.
That's intimidating. I'm just going to put that out there.
I personally, as the DM, am intimidated right now. Roll intimidation.
But she's got a nice personality.
Deep down inside.
This better be good. Okay, so that's an 8, but that's plus a 5, so that's 13 total. And then if I could use the bless roll to
add
to
that,
that's a 16 total.
Okay, so you are running across the beach, screaming and flailing your many limbs at the sea spawn. They are intimidated. Some of them stagger back and leave a bit of a clearing for you. A path is starting to emerge through the sea spawn, and others kind of rush away to get out of your way, and they fall into the trench that was dug in front of the cabana. So you have cleared a bit more of a path for the rest of the party through the group of sea spawn.
Cool.
That was a pass.
Yes.
What's next?
I'm going to just use nature, and I want to sort of plot out the weakest parts of the anatomy of the closest three or as many as I can get to the sea spawn. So I can I know this one's a crab, so I can punch right here in the middle of their chest or
his weak spot.
Yeah, exactly. And exploit the weakness.
His Achilles pincher.
Yeah, right.
All right. Roll nature.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That's going to be 23 total.
Wow. Okay, that is a success.
All right,
you
work.
Tear through them. Fish parts flying
yes.
everywhere. Crab legs and arms and limbs. You've got tentacles just draped over your body, impaled on your horns. You are just decimating these sea spawn. They're just collapsing into entrails and seawater and goo.
That's basically what I look like when I eat at the Red Lobster.
I guess I'm just going to use medicine. And any sea spawn that just happens to be bending over, I'm going to run very quickly and pile drive my Triton inside of them. And I guess while I'm doing that, I might as well just kind of do a pole vault.
Oh, okay.
While I'm, inside of them at the moment.
Well, we're going to do one action at a time. So we're going to start with medicine. So go ahead and roll.
I love that you're like,
give a good old colonoscopy
into, like,
to the undead.
Yeah. And as you're doing it, you're like, don't worry, I'm a doctor.
Well, that's a 6 plus 5 is 11, and I'm gonna, we have the bless, right?
Mm-hmm.
La! Plus 3 is 14.
You're a very lucky lady. You have plunged your trident into one backside of a sea spawn after another as they're like scrambling and clamoring over each other, and you're just tearing them apart. That's going to be a success for the party, and you have racked up 3 successes.
Yeah.
Defeated.
Beer, beer, beer. Pass your skill challenge. Congratulations. Sir Throbberdon and Jim Jim rush over to the cabana to assist Lamont Dupont with the sea spawn that are menacing him there. There's more explosions and blasts and weapons fire over the beach, more screaming of the sea spawn. So now you're standing before the ruined remains with 3 fingers in. Lear is standing by a cannon, and as you approach, he says, oh, look who it is, my favorite customers. Glad you made it back.
Hi.
The sea spawn are rampaging all along the beach, including towards the 3 fingers in. But because you passed your skill challenge, you're going to get a surprise round on them. Ellen is chasing up behind you, so she's just following behind the party. And we're going to go right into where we were in the attack order with Butylene.
Awesome. How far away is, like, this particular swarm from, like, me and our group?
There's one that's close, about 5 feet from Arson. Then there's a cluster of 3 more, 10 feet to the east. And then there's a lone straggler, another 10 feet beyond them.
My impulse is to kind of, like, bolt into, like, the cluster of them and then throw, like, a bomb at the one that's just, like, a little bit farther away.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
that, so that I can cast, like, Flames of Phlegethos and, like, you know, maybe do some damage to, like, the cluster. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, get everybody in one fell swoop.
Roll your attack.
That's a 9.
Okay.
Oh, so that's 9 plus 5 is 14, plus 3 is 17.
Okay, Butylene, you rush into the middle of the cluster of sea spawn. They're all snarling and slobbering at you, and you hurl a bomb up over their heads at the straggler 10 feet away. Roll your damage.
That's 5 total.
There's a blast of flame and smoke, and that lone sea spawn is just vaporized. And because you did fire damage with Flames of Phlegethos, you are suddenly ablaze. There is a fireball in the middle of the cluster of sea spawn, knocking them all back, and they fall burning and lifeless to the sand. There's just one sea spawn left now near Arson, and it is Ellen's turn next.
Would you like offense or defense?
My opinion is defense.
Yeah, the best offense is typically the best defense.
Because we've got some pretty sick attacks, yeah. And if we can get those bolstered, then that might be kind of fun.
Okie dokie, I'm going to cast aid. As I turn over to look at a Glomabird, like, this is getting crazy. I take out my 3 spheres and I rotate them around and hold them aloft and I say, Rebel, Rebel, put on your dress. Rebel, Rebel, your face is a mess. And outstretch my arms, providing aid to all.
3 creatures get to increase their current HP.
It's the sea spawn. No. Surprise. No, it's of course not.
That's a plus 5 for everybody on your HP. So next up, we're going to Arson.
Just to clarify, which rolls does Bless have an effect on?
All of them.
Well, then in that case,
what you're doing.
No, actually, I don't think you do. I am going to whip out my tentacle baton.
Ooh.
And
Ooh.
Use that to use up to possibly 3 successful melee attacks on the sea spawn that's left.
Okay, let's have you roll your attacks.
Okay.
And I haven't used shape water once, but I did say it.
Take a shot. Okay, so that's 13 plus 5, which is 18.
Ooh.
I'm assuming that's a hit?
That will be a hit.
Okay, cool.
Now roll your second attack, and remember, you've still got that bless.
Okay, so that's 3 plus 5 is 8, so I would like to use a bless on that. And that's a 10. I don't think that's going to hit.
That will not.
And that's a 12 plus 5, which is a 17.
That will hit, but let's roll your bless anyway. So
that would be a 20.
That
yes!
gets it to a 20. Go ahead and roll your damage for those two tentacle attacks.
So that's 3 and 4, so 7 damage total.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to describe what your tentacle rod does?
I would. Thank you very much.
Is this an unsuitable for work version or
NSFW?
No, right. We'll do it in like a whip motion. Mm-hmm. So the tentacles do that like whip undulation where it's got that like crack at the end of it.
Okay, you crack your tentacles at the sea spawn, the one remaining sea spawn in front of you, and with the first crack, it blasts away most of the skin and muscle of the sea spawn. It just like blasts part of the body away, leaving like exposed bone, and with the second crack of the tentacle, it blasts away the skeleton, the fish skeleton underneath, and it dissolves into entrails and guts and gore.
Woo!
Party.
The battle is continuing to rage all around you at the beach, and you can see up ahead there's the pirate ship with Carmela and Sister Baccarat with sea spawns swarming up over the sides, and then there's also the crane platform at the back of the beach, and dangling from the crane is Patty, the cheater that you caught at the Golden Palace. She is dangling from the crane with a slingshot, taking ranged attacks against all the sea spawn.
Is wow. she eating pumpkins That's right cool. now?
Yeah, sure. She's got a pumpkin up there with her. which one of those would you like to run to?
Let's go to the pirate ship since it's the closest.
Is it possible to split up, or are we all going as a group?
Jim and Throbberdon have finished defending the cabana around the same time as you. Mm. They've cleared that away, and they run up to join you, and he's like, you pick a spot, and we'll defend whichever one you don't go to.
And Throbberdon can fly, so if we pick the pirate ship, he can fly over to the
crane
yeah,
platform.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Let's say that.
So we'll go to the pirate ship, and you two can go to the crane platform. Thanks.
You're just obsessed with booty.
I am. I love booty.
He says, copy that, and he and Jim rush off to the crane platform where Patty the Cheater is dangling from the crane, and she's like, oh, marvelous to see you. and you're going to run over to the pirate ship, and once again, we're going to do a skill challenge to make your way through the crowd of sea spawn that are between you and that ship.
Cool.
But this time, you're going to have to get 6 successes
Whoa.
Before you get 3 failures.
I have a +3 on a performance and a +5 on deception.
And you can do intimidation again too, since it's a new skill challenge.
I'm like, I've got a really good nature check and investigation and arcana. I'm not sure how to use that.
Arcana is your knowledge of magic stuff. Uh-huh. So it's kind of book learning that you've done about anything that is supernatural.
Gotcha. Okay. Which would be the undead,
Or possibly a throbbing heart of my spear.
Yeah.
What skills, just so we can plan it out,
I think I'm going to use, right now my highest are animal handling, athletics, insight, which I wouldn't know how to use.
I mean, if you can think of a way that you would use it, it would be your ability to detect someone's motivations or understand their internal thought process.
Which I don't think they have much of one.
Yeah, I'd be challenged to think of a reason, but if you can
and
think of something.
And medicine, which I've already used and I'm not trying to...
I don't like wearing the same dress twice.
At least without dry cleaning it first.
Do you have any that are like +3s?
Perception and... Oh, survival.
Interesting. Well, I feel okay about using intimidation again if that's something we're into.
Mm-hmm.
I was successful the first time.
Mm-hmm. You will have to get 6 successes, so there will probably be some repeats.
Shit.
From what you did last time.
Okay, yeah. Well, then, if you're comfortable with that, I'll go and intimidate first.
Totally, yeah. Cool. I'm into it.
So for the first skill check, I would like to use intimidation. And the way I'd like to use intimidation is by widening my eyes and not making any noise this time, but just, like, silently staring everyone down and just scanning back and forth.
Okay, you're doing the spooky glare at the sea spawn as they're, like, foaming at the mouth at you. Roll intimidation.
Does bless still count?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a 5 +5 is 10. So I'm gonna add the bless to it. So that's a 12.
Fortunately.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
I set a DC of 12 for this one.
Whoa.
Because you're already quite scary. You stare them down with your like wide eyes and gritted teeth, and several of the sea spawns step backwards a little bit. They're starting to clear a path. It's not a huge clearing, but they're starting to make some room. So okay. You got one success.
All right, back to the drawing board.
So I'm going to use animal handling for my first one. And what I'm going to do is, since they are fish-type creatures, I'm going to have the aid of my Trident of Fish command, which, should I explain what it does, or we already know because I've explained it before?
I mean, the name kind of says.
Okay, perfect. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to hold up this Trident, and I'm going to go, and kind of just telepathically command them to just hurt themselves.
Oh, okay.
Instead right. of cleaning the beach, they're going to be punching each other in the face.
Stop hitting yourself.
Okay.
19 plus 5 is 24. Just because. Plus 3 is 27.
Okay. I was going to make that a tough roll, but... With your 27 showing off to everybody, thank you.
It's a success.
The sea spawn are struggling to control themselves, but your command was just to like attack each other?
Yeah. Like pummel each other to jelly.
They lose control, and they are like just ripping into each other and tearing each other apart. They've cleared out they've thinned out the pack now because they're just falling apart and like collapsing, just scratching and clawing and biting at each other to the ground. So it's a much clearer path to the pirate ship now.
Cool. We just don't get three failures. So far we have two passes.
So far you have two successes, no failures.
Butylene, what say you?
Can you describe like what is still like sort of like upright, or what the playground kind of looks like?
Yeah, so it's a wooden ship. It's got some battle damage on it. Carmella and Sister Baccarat are standing on the mast. There's a tall mast. Used to have some ropes, but there's just like frayed ropes hanging from it now. They've dumped some hot tar over the side, and there's just like bodies of sea spawn and entrails littering the ground around it.
I want to use investigation to see what the easiest way to like kind of knock all of them down in the easiest fashion, you know, like any like broken sort of playground equipment, you know, if there's like, I want to kind of like survey the scene to see like one big foul swoop I can make that'll take out as many of them and like dump them into the tar.
Okay, so I think I would split that up into two actions. You'd have your investigation, and then we'd have another skill check for whatever you do with whatever you learn.
Oh, okay.
So we'll start with that investigation.
Okay. Natural 20. should I use my bless too? Oh, just, yeah.
So I'm going to count that as two passes,
yes!
Two successes.
Yes,
and we'll say that there's a yardarm on the pirate ship with a rope holding it in place.
Yes.
And if you cut that yardarm, it would swing around and knock a whole bunch of sea spawn into the tar.
Oh my gosh, into it. Yes, I'll do that.
Okay. Now, you or someone else is going to have to use a skill to cut that rope. Okay. So who wants to go for it?
Can I finally use Shape Water and create a chakram and Zenith Warrior Princess throw it to the thing?
You probably have something sharp already.
Well, but I want to use a chakram and Shape Water, goddammit.
Well, it's got to be a skill too, right?
Use it or lose it. and I can use athletics because it'd be like throwing a pot shot or a shot pot.
A shot put?
Shot put.
Yep. It would be like throwing a hot pot.
A hot pot. Yeah,
like throwing a hot pot.
Or what's the discus? It'd be like throwing a discus.
Yeah, okay. Roll athletics.
Okay. six plus four is 10 plus two is 12. Motherfucker. Please tell me it was a 10.
I set this one at 13.
Ah, mother fudgesicles.
That's okay.
It's fine. It's one fail. We had to fail at least once, right?
So you throw your arm around in a circle, and a weapon forms out of the water of the wet beach and the seawater from the sea spawn, and you fling it up towards that rope, and it just splashes over the rope. The rope looks a little frayed, but it is still in place.
Like I said, use it or lose it. Okay.
So that is 4 successes, 1 failure.
Okay. Ooh. I know what I would like to do. I have a +5 deception, so I would like to use that and say to the group of sea spawn, I am your new Kraken priest. Please move to the side immediately.
Can you at least hold the heart while you're doing this?
There's a
do
new
you want to do that? I would let you do that if you want.
Oh, oh yeah.
That would be so convincing. Let's
that
do
might
that.
Affect yeah. the DC of this role.
Absolutely, I will do that.
Absolutely.
Bam.
Yeah, I'm just going to like chuck it over. Here you go, sis.
You're holding the Kraken priest beating hard aloft.
Oh my gosh. I think I just peed in my pants a little bit.
Oh my god, I hate everything. I rolled a 4 plus 5. That's a 13.
The sea spawn collapse prostrate before you worshipfully.
Oh my god. Oh my
gosh. Whoa.
Oh my god. Oh, thank
wow,
goodness.
Thanks for that beating heart shit, sis.
You know.
5 successes, 1 failure.
Oh, my god.
What's next?
All right, Badalyn.
I mean, I'm going to use nature, I think, to my knowledge of the nature of this rope and its natural fibers.
Okay.
I'm really just going to run up and, like, claw it and snip it and just try to, like, cut this rope.
So, Beetle, you want to, like, charge through those, like, prostrate sea spawn and, like, leap up to claw at the rope using your nature.
I do, yeah. And I know that, like, you know, there's, like, certain things I can, like, rip apart with my claws. Like, I know it's not a metal rope, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I can kind of tell. I have a vague idea of, like, what it's made out of and, like, about, like, how resilient it would be. And I really think I could, like, gnaw and pull. And
sure. So it's, like, a nice cottony. It's not quite sizal. It's just,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's definitely not a poly blend, you know.
I'm going to say this is going to be challenging, but let's go ahead and roll your nature.
Oh, yes. I know.
Oh, oh my God.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's a 4.
Yeah.
Plus 5 is 9. I'm going to go ahead and use my blessing.
Oh, my God.
Plus 4. That's 13.
You clamber up onto that yardarm, and you're swiping at the rope. It doesn't quite give, though. You're still perched up there, and the yardarm is still in place.
No.
Gotcha.
Okay. 5 successes, 2 failures.
Oh, my God.
One more of either will determine the outcome of this skill challenge.
Does anyone have a 5 still available to them?
I have medicine.
Or I can use insight to see if they can, if there's anything along the floor that they could possibly trip on that I can, like, push them over.
It's more of a perception thing. Insight's more like internal. It's more like knowing what's going on with them.
Okay, well, then how about I use insight to figure out how terrible their mothers are and start telling your mama jokes?
I would allow it.
I don't know any of your
mama
jokes.
What's your insight?
My insight's a 5.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I'm just going to, I'm going to use insight and kind of try to figure out how terrible their lives were while they were living and then use that against them and,
use it to throw ridiculous amounts of shade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Insult comic style, Bianca Del Rio.
Really?
Selena's dead.
All right. Roll insight.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Let's do this.
8.
That's an 8.
Okay, 8 plus 5 is...
Use the blast.
I am.
So that gets you to 13.
Yeah. Plus 3 is 16.
You study the sea spawn closely, and you can tell from their mode, like the scraps of clothing that is still on them, that they were probably pretty well-to-do, and they're probably nobles and well-off and dignified individuals. What do you want to say to them?
I mean, you said they were rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of look tattered now. Okay, well, I'm going to say, your mama's so poor, I saw her kicking a can down the street, and I asked her what she was doing, and she said moving.
So with that 16, Freya, the sea spawn look a bit puzzled. It's not going to clear the DC unless someone else in the party wants to help by rolling performance to offer a second read that builds on Freya's.
I have a +3 performance, so I would like to assist if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a 10 +3. Can I use my bless to add to that? So that's a 15 total.
Okay, it's a 15. What is your read?
Mm, money can't buy taste.
Ooh! Right?
You know?
Yeah.
All right, that 16 and 15 on their own might not have done it, but together, the sea spawn collapse, wounded and insulted and inert now on the sand. You have successfully passed your skill challenge. Congratulations.
Wow, barely.
Oh, my goodness.
We're definitely not getting a skin right around this time.
That was definitely a nail biter.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can reach the pirate ship now. Butylene's already up on that mast arm there, still like gnawing at the rope. But now you are ready to attack the sea spawn that are swarming around the southern and eastern side of the pirate ship. Carmella and Sister Baccarat are up there, and they wave to you, but they're pretty occupied, like swinging. Each of them has a small sword, and they're all swinging at the sea spawn to keep them off of the vessel. I will say also that the sea spawn that was part of the group that you passed through, they would have been attacking the pirate ship, but there are fewer of them this time because you defeated them with the skill challenge. So we're going to take those out. There's three sea spawn that are trying to swarm up over the side of the pirate ship. So we're going to jump back into the attack order with Freya.
Where am I exactly? Like, I'm beside the boat next to the tar.
You're at the northern back of the boat near the puddle of tar. The sea spawn are at the east side, the west side, and the south side of the boat.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is front handspring, step out, round off, handspring, step out, round off, back handspring, full twisting layout, and thrust my Triton into the easternmost side of the sea spawn.
Okay, I'm going to have you do a roll for each of those moves. No, I'm not.
Each one.
I'm going to have you roll an attack for that.
Oh, fuck me.
So you rolled
I rolled a four, plus my Triton is one, which is five, plus my strength is two, which is seven, plus my proficiency, which is another two, which makes it nine, mm-hmm. And I'm rolling for my blessing. Bless you. Four?
That gets you to 13.
Yeah.
That is going to hit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Boy, that was pluses
Cher.
On pluses on pluses for a pretty lousy roll.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
so you
that bless.
Just dance across the back of the pirate ship, dazzling. Carmella Lemaire is watching her. She's like wearing a full feathered showgirl's outfit, but she's like taking notes on your move. And you plunge your trident into the sea spawn. Roll your damage.
So eight.
Okay, so you plunge that trident directly into the sea spawn, and it bursts apart into more seawater and fish entrails and bones, and it just collapses down into the sand and melts away.
Gross.
Clam chowder, my favorite.
Well done. Now it's on to Butylene.
And there's like, so there's two sea spawn like left around us, like in the pirate ship. Is there still like a bunch like around us, like in the general scene? This is like, there's like swarms.
There are swarms of sea spawn all over the place. Around the ship, you've just got two now. There's one at the south side of the ship. There's one at the west side. And then there's other sea spawn, like, still swarming up around on the further eastern side of the beach.
I think what I'm going to do is, like, sort of, like, dismount from the pole that I've been, like, hanging off of a little bit. I'm going to land and then sort of, like, motion to Arson to give me back my spear with, like, the Kraken Priest heart. I think I'd like to... use like thaumaturgy to boom my voice and just be like, "All sea spawn, I killed your master, and now I command you to destroy each other immediately."
So you grab the spear back from Arson, you bellow out of them in this loud, commanding voice. Go ahead and roll persuasion or intimidation, whichever one you think is better for you.
Yeah, would it be like, since I observed what like Arson did with it, would that add to like my knowledge of its like magical abilities?
I would say you could do an arcana check here instead of like persuasion or intimidation.
Okay, awesome.
To know like what the heart is capable of.
Right, just from like witnessing like what Arson just did. Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I'd give you I'd give you advantage on this.
I'll go with that. Oh, that's a 7 plus 5 plus 2. So 14?
Okay, well, let's roll again, see what you get on the next one.
All right, with advantage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
That's a 9. That's a little better. 9 plus 7 is 16.
Okay, and you've also got a bless on that as well.
Oh, yes. Thank you. 16 plus 2. 18.
Butylene, the Kraken speaks abyssal, celestial, infernal, primordial. Which language do you want to bellow your message in?
Oh my gosh. I would love this opportunity to practice my abyssal. Thank you.
Absolutely. You hold the heart on the spear aloft. The sea spawn hear that. They fall worshipfully to their knees and they start like backing up in panic away from you. And we're going to say that the ship is defended. It is now safe. Carmella and Sister Baccarat give you a long, tight embrace. Thank you so much. And then looking back across the beach.
We have killed so many things in this combat already.
Right. Yeah, it probably looks like a table at, like, the crab pot right about now. You know, it's just, like, shards and some undefined liquids.
It is quite a mess. It looks like a tornado tore through a Long John Silver's on the beach right now. You know,
those things
happens.
Still exist?
Yeah, Long John Silver.
Not anymore after you've been through them.
Right.
And so from across the beach, you hear a familiar voice call out to you for aid from the lifeguard tower. It's Chernobyl, the warforged paladin that you met in Watersport. There is no mistaking her hulking form comprised of thick vines within metal-plated armor. She's got a new arm, brassy and mechanical, patched onto her shoulder. Her eyes glow that familiar blue as sea spawn pile onto her. She's getting overwhelmed, and she calls out to you for help.
If you have a moment, I would appreciate some assistance.
We're coming, darling.
I want to go to there.
Yes.
Party is rushing across the beach. There's still more explosions and sea spawn screaming across out of the waves. And you're rushing towards Chernobyl, who's surrounded by sea spawn at the ruined, destroyed lifeguard tower. And she's pushing as she's got like a flaming fist and she's like trying to like push them away from her, but she's completely overwhelmed. The sea spawn are just like piling on top. And she sees you coming, and Butylene, just as you leading the party get to Chernobyl at the lifeguard tower, there's a terrible roar, and sea spawn fly up into the air as something large crashes through them.
Oh, shit.
Pushing the sea spawn to the side, you see a giant, hulking creature, what you recognize as a Chool. And I'm handing you all a picture of it now, and describe what you see.
Whoa.
Oh, that looks like...
Okay.
Yes, it's
a
like
chimera, a octopus,
lobster,
well,
goat.
I mean,
crab.
The face is squid. Like an octopus squid. The back body is kind of like a very mutant type shrimp. The legs look like alien goat feet, and the pincers are very more lobster than crab-like.
It's like
or when, scorpion, like scorpion.
Yeah, when Beyonce once said, "When he fucked me good, I take his ass to Red Lobster." Red Lobster. That's what Beyonce gets to eat. That's like okay. the big kahuna. It's kind of massive.
It is 10 feet tall, shrieking and gurgling with disgusting briny seawater spraying everywhere.
I have a question. Did this thing kill the sea spawn that were surrounding, or did it just move them off to the side? Like, excuse me, or rah!
It threw a bunch of sea spawn off to the side, and they just burst apart when they landed on the ground. But Chernobyl is still surrounded by 5 sea spawn.
Okay.
And we have this thing to deal with, too.
And you have this thing to deal with, too.
Well, we glad we have all those hit points.
Can I get some clarified butter, please?
All right. We're going to go back up to the top of the attack order, and we're also going to add Chernobyl to the initiative order.
You better work.
Chernobyl rolled a 15.
Okay, that's a 15 for Chernobyl. Noble, and I just rolled for the Chool. It rolled a 20. Oh. So it's the Chool's turn.
Oh my.
Chool on that.
Netflix and Chool.
It's going to try to bring its claw down towards Arson. And it rolls a 13.
My armor class is 13.
Okay, that is going to be a hit. That's going to be 9 points of damage.
Okay, and I'd also like to add a Hellish Rebuke for 500, Alex.
Absolutely. Okay, so he's going to have to do a dex save. Oh, he rolled a 19.
Ah! Well, it still takes half as much damage.
Okay.
On a successful throw, so it's 2d10 and then half of that.
Okay, go ahead and roll your 2d10.
17 divided by 2.
And that gets rounded down, so that's going to be 8 points of damage.
Cool. Not bad for not a turn. Actually, that's really cool because the Chul inflicted 9 points on me and I sent 8 points right back at
it.
With its attack that hit you, its pincher closes around you and you are now grappled.
Yikes.
You're grappled. No.
You are held tight in its claw. And with Arson grappled in one claw, the Chul opens its horrible maw and sprays acid out over Chernobyl. And Chernobyl's going to have to do a dex saving throw.
Here I go. Natural 20.
Ooh.
Yes.
You better work.
Okay. Chernobyl is safe from the acid splash. It is Chernobyl's turn.
Chernobyl is going to try to destroy the sea spawn because they are abominations, which Chernobyl cannot abide. And also, if they do get out of the thrall of this heart, it would be bad. So Chernobyl targets one of them and attacks with an iron fist. And rolls a natural 1.
Oh dear.
She's attacking with her new arm, which is not fully integrated into her spirit.
It's a baby's arm.
Deadpool-like.
Right.
The sea spawn are difficult to predict. They are chaotic and swerving around and like half clawing at each other, but also groveling before the heart. So it's tough for Chernobyl to get a fix on them. It's going to be the sea spawn's turn next. So the first sea spawn is going to try to attack Freya back here. Freya, it's going to lunge at you with its beak and bite. It rolls a 14. How's your AC?
Okay, well, it's 12.
All right, you're going to take 7 piercing damage,
and
3 lightning damage. 10 points.
Okay.
This is truly an annoyance.
Truly outrageous.
So, Freya, you could use Wrath of the Storm since it's, like, right next to you trying to bite at you.
Okay, sure. I'm going to use... So, what's going to happen is I'm going to... A knee-jerk reaction is... She was born in a wagon and a traveler's show. And I'm going to choose lightning damage.
It's those hiccup sounds that activate the lightning damage.
Right.
Okay, so you're going to roll your damage for that Wrath of the Storm.
2, 7. 7 points of damage.
A bolt of lightning just strikes out of nowhere, blasting the sea spawn apart into more guts and gore.
Yes. Oh, bye, girl.
Guts and gore.
It is out of the fight. Okay, so that second sea spawn is going to go after Arson, and it's going to try to slap you with a tentacle. Ooh, it rolls a 9.
My armor class is 13.
Okay, that is not going to hit, so it misses. It's Ellen's turn next.
I am going to attack the red lobster man with Sacred Flame, and he has to succeed on a dexterity saving throw. Difficulty class 15, please.
A 9.
Insufficient. So he's going to take 7 points of radiant damage.
Okay.
And Ellen's going to go position herself over in that scrub brush and kind of do a little squatty potty.
Oh my God.
Kind of duck down in it.
All right. Ellen is ducking behind the scrub, which gives her a little bit of cover.
I don't want no scrubs.
Up. Arson, it's your turn.
Clarifying question. What can and can I not? What can't I not do in a grapple?
When you're grappled, you can't move. And that is about it.
Oh. Can I, like, cast spells and shit still?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would like to, since I'm right here, I would like to poison spray the Chul.
Okay, let's go for it. So I think that's a saving throw for the Chul.
Yes, it is a constitution saving throw.
The Chul has rolled a 6.
Cool. And my spell save DC is 13.
All right, so it's going to take some damage.
Great. That is 1d12 poison.
Go ahead and roll.
That's a 4.
Okay, so it's going to take 4 points of poison damage from you.
Okay.
And next up, we've got Freya.
Well, since I have my trident,
I'm going to run towards the Chul and around
share noble and try to plunge my trident into the jewel.
Watch Go out. Ahead and roll your attack.
Are we still blessed?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
That is not going to hit.
Damn it.
Boo.
Anything else you want to do on your turn?
Probably not be underneath the chul.
So you are far enough away that you could back off a bit without getting an attack of opportunity?
Yeah, I'm going to take a leap backwards.
All right. It's Butylene's turn next.
How far am I from the chul?
You're about, I'd say, 15 feet.
And you said the chul is like 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sort of like jet around and try to get around to like the back of the chul and like climb up the kind of like lobster tail. I would also like to throw a bomb at the sea spawn that's like on the opposite side, that's farthest from everyone, while I cast Flames of Phlegethos as I'm like right up near like the beast's head.
Okay.
I know that it can't really like get at me the way that its arms are, like from behind. So I want to kind of like sneak up from behind, get up to like the back of the neck while I like throw a bomb and then surround myself in flames.
Great. Okay. So we're going to start with the bomb. So let's, you're throwing that at
bomb. The sea spawn that's like sort of closest to the water, like farthest away from
everybody else.
Everybody else.
That's a 12.
12 plus, I think it's a plus 5 for you?
Yes.
17.
12 plus 5, 17.
That will hit.
Yes. Big bada boom.
Ah. So go ahead and roll your damage for that.
2d6.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2.
Okay, so it's going to take 2 points of damage. So that bomb blasts away that southernmost sea spawn. It just dissolves into goo with a huge cloud of sand thrown up into the air. Meanwhile, you are also, I think, is your bonus action casting Flames of Phlegethos?
Yeah, Phlegethos.
Okay, so you've got Flames of Phlegethos active, which means that when you cast any spell that does fire damage, you are wreathed in flames until the end of your next turn. And because you're riding the back of the chul, when those flames appear around you, it's going to take 2 points of fire damage.
And meanwhile, I'm just like hanging out in the back of this thing.
Yep. And now it is the chul's turn.
Oh, shit.
The chul is
chugga,
going to...
Chugga, 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 chul, chul.
The chul is not amused.
All right.
It's holding arson tight, and Arson, you feel its mouth tentacles slithering over your face. Do a con save.
I know I'm sounding like a broken record. Can I use blasts on this d20?
Yep.
Okay, that's a 9 plus 1, so that's a 10.
You are poisoned and paralyzed.
Darn it.
It uses tentacle attack to paralyze Arson, and next it emits a horrible shriek and sprays a blast of acid over both Arson and Freya. Freya, do a dex save to avoid that, and Arson, you automatically fail because you're grappled.
Damn.
Okay, so you are both going to take some acid damage. That's an 8. Freya, you only take 4 since you're resistant. And it's the sea spawn next. The sea spawn sees Arson paralyzed there, and it's going to go for you.
Is she not, like, dangling somewhere in the air, being used as a maraca?
Kind of like dangling loosely there. The sea spawn is going to lash out with a tentacle and try to hit Arson. Ooh, that's a 10 to hit.
I have a 13 armor class.
But the attack roll will have advantage because you're paralyzed. That's a 13. And so you are going to take 7 points of bludgeoning damage. It's Ellen's turn next.
Okay, so do you want me to attack the lobster, or do you want me to heal you? This is the last time I can heal, if I'm going to do some healing. But I can heal everybody.
Yeah, I could do some
healing. Especially now that I'm poisoned, yeah. I could really use some healing shit.
I mean, I'm going to agree with everybody, but I kind of also want to know, like, how powerful are you?
Well, you know, it's...
Very?
I never divulge my level, but it's... I'm a level 5 cleric. And as a disciple of the Domain of Life, my channel divinity, I can't Wrath of the Storm. No, that's not something I can do. But I can give people hit points.
Mm. Okay, let's go for some healing.
Yeah. That sounds delightful. What do you think? Oh, just kidding. You're unconscious.
Yeah.
She can't move. She can still breathe, thankfully.
So I swirl my three balls in my hand.
Congratulations.
And say, you remind me of the babe.
What babe?
The babe with the power.
Yeah, the babe with the power.
I'm the power of the babe. Let's see. How's about 7 hit points to Arson, 7 hit points to Freya, and 7 hit points to Butylene?
Yes. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Twinkles of light appear in the air around all of you as you feel a little bit better.
Arson's still paralyzed, though.
Arson is still paralyzed.
Sure as hell I am.
Arson, it would normally be your turn next, but suddenly, you hear a voice calling to you from the direction of the waves. Looks like you could use a little assistance, and you see Belfry charging up from the waves towards you.
Is she on a horse? Does she look like Joan of Arc or Madonna?
Her hair is blowing majestically in the breeze. Madonna? Sure.
I don't know.
She looks kind of piratey. She's wearing like leather armor. She's got her cutlass in one hand. She's got a bracer with daggers in the other. And she is charging to your aid. She rolls a 28 to hit.
Oh my god.
The dagger just flies straight through the sea spawn and it explodes into goo and guts and gore.
Perfect.
Sickening.
Really glad that we... I mean, we're going to piss her off soon enough, but... really glad that we're not on her bad side just yet.
And then she turns back to the Chul and she says, now, as for you, you rude thing... That's another 28 to hit.
Oh, my God.
So she's going to start with her dagger damage, which is going to be a 9 points. And then she's going to get her sneak attack damage, which is 3, 5, 10, 12, 13, 18, 23.
Yes!
So don't get in a fight with her.
Right?
We're learning.
Holy shit.
That dagger flies directly into the face of the Chul, and it screams, and a huge spurt of black goo just sprays out of its face. It is looking very weak now. It's drooping. Its tentacles are just like slack. Its claws are drooping down. It's in a very bad shape. And as a bonus action, she is going to say to Freya, I have every confidence in the world that you'll be able to put an end to this thing. And she's giving you a help action, so you're going to have advantage on your next roll, Freya.
Well, I want to use my trident, but I also want to use Frostbite.
So, Arson, it is your turn next, but you are paralyzed. You can do a con saving throw to get out of that.
I sure as hell would love to do something like that, Alex.
So that's 13. Can I use a bless on that?
You absolutely can.
That's 14 total.
You snap yourself out of the paralysis.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dang.
So you are able to move. You're still grappled, but you are back to life.
Great.
And Freya, it's your turn next.
Okay, I'm going to stab it in the abdomen with the trident. So I'm going to run back towards it and take a good old jab at it with my... Triton of Fish Command.
You have advantage. Plus bless.
Yes.
Natural 20.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Do I need to use the bless just in case? I don't know what its armor class is.
You do not.
Okay,
Freya, describe to me how you kill the Chul.
Oh my god.
Ah!
Oh my god.
So I'm going to... Okay. So I'm going to... use my 8th farewell tour to run and just shove this beautiful triton into its abdomen. I'm going to twist and do like a cute little pirouette with the thing, with the triton.
Y'all wanted a twist?
And then I'm going to pull out and be showered in blood and guts everywhere. And just be like, yes!
It's very like Evil Dead of you.
Yeah, it's very like a Blood Rave Blade 2. You know?
You stab clean through the Chul. Your body flies into it just as it's falling apart. Its pieces flying everywhere on the beach. You are showered in disgusting, stinking, rotting fish parts. It drops arson. The claw falls to the beach and shatters. Butylene, you stagger backwards on the sand and fall to your knees. There is nothing left of the chul but some wriggling tentacles that quickly fall to the ground completely motionless. The chul is dead.
Yes. Long live the chul.
And then the wyvern shows up. Awesome.
I still want to try to see if I can, like, wrangle one of those and break it.
I'm also quite poisoned right now, so
yeah. Can I use mending?
On arson?
You want to fix her blouse?
The poison will only last for 1 minute on arson, so it's not a long-lasting condition.
Okay.
Okay, well then.
Chernobyl can touch it up, but, I mean, if you just want to wait, that's fine, too.
I can always go for a touch-up.
Chernobyl's hands glow. She applies them to Arson's thorax, and an energy spreads out, purging the poison and the plosives into the microphone.
Arson, you're looking a little bit better now, as Belfry walks up to you and puts a hand gently on your shoulder, and she says, I've seen far worse. Well done, everyone. It's good to see you back. Do you have the treaty?
Does Harlot have the treaty, or do we have the treaty?
We don't have anything,
yeah,
really.
We don't have anything.
They have the people have the treaty.
So here's the thing.
Can we go in and make some tea?
You might want to sit down for this.
We have stories to tell.
So it's not like we didn't really trust you, but we didn't not trust you, and we kind of, you know, we were brought here.
Can we let Butylene explain this, please?
Long story short, we had the treaty.
Right.
Did you read the treaty?
We did, actually, and we do have knowledge on how to receive help from the Glamazons.
However, we basically already messed all that up because we broke the treaty.
Yes, but good news! We destroyed the Kraken Priest. He's dead.
We'll need to discuss that, but first, you said you have information about the mutual defense portion of the treaty?
Yes, but I'm going to have to remember really quick.
Do an intelligence roll, everybody.
Oh, jeez.
We're going to combine all your scores to see if you
can. But about this trusting you, but not trusting you thing. 17.
11.
17?
Plus intelligence.
Oh, I got 17 total.
So 16 still, whatever.
That's 17 plus 16 plus 11? That's a total of 44, and you do remember what was in the treaty about mutual defense, about putting together a plan and then meeting at an agreed-upon location to exchange information with Glamazon liaisons. So you were able to provide that information to Belfry.
So the reason why we didn't trust her in the first place, and it's not that we...
Sorry, are we telling her this right now?
Yeah,
I mean,
what do you say? What do you say to Belfry right now?
Yeah, right. We say like,
when we got here, a lot was happening. And when we first met you, you were kind of wearing this clay max a la like hexadecimal, and I wasn't really feeling it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's
we're
stop.
Not. We're gonna like rewind time here and not say that.
Yeah, the reason she was wearing the mask is because Harlot gave her face cream that dealt her ice. Like,
but hold on. Okay, we don't need to tell her that.
I'm sorry.
We don't need to tell her that.
Yeah, she knows that.
We have not been asked. She has not asked us why we didn't trust her, so we're not going to volunteer that information unless we are asked.
Yeah. I think we basically just need to state.
But, I mean, she kind of needs to know why we jumped onto the other side, and the only reason that we jumped onto the other side was to find help from the indigenous people who we thought were actually being...
Even though
suppressed.
We read that they were probably going to kill us.
Yeah.
We have been asked the information about the treaty. We are going to give the information about the treaty.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've already given the information about the treaty.
Yeah, if we learned anything from the trial, it's don't answer any questions that you weren't asked.
Precisely.
Fair enough.
So in character, what do you say to Belfry?
What was the question again?
There was a lot that just went on in my head. I'm sorry, Belfry. I had a flash.
What do you remember about the mutual defense portion of the treaty?
Oh,
we do the intelligence roll and we tell her that the word for word.
Right, I vaguely remember exactly all the words.
It's coming to mind almost in like a vision, but it's oddly specific. It says, hogs are expected to secure their property and citizens and provide defense against unsightly disasters of the natural and unnatural kind. In the event of a crisis which threatens Glamazon interests, worthy hog representatives are expected to file a joint defense proposal with the butocracy through their appointed liaison. Joint defense proposals shall, and then it goes into bullet points, clearly identify a threat to Glamazon security, propose a course of action to resolve the threat, identify the assets hogs will contribute, define the scope of expected Glamazon involvement, establish a timetable for action, and extra credit, include written support from at least three experts in relevant fields. And I would like to say that verbatim to Belfry, and nothing more, nothing less.
Well, I can't say that things haven't been a little complicated in the last few days, but I'm glad that you've been able to return with that information. That is what I needed to know. I'm going to need a little time to figure out our next steps here, but I think things are finally looking up for us here in this situation.
Yay!
But I mean, shouldn't she know that we may have really screwed things up? Because when she actually goes in and does this, and like the Glamazons kind of tell her what we did.
No, because we already figured out. Ellen already told us that they're not going to try us again for what we did.
Us.
Yes, which means that like it's fine. And she also said that it's not very likely that they're going to like eject everyone off the island, so we don't have to worry about like, you know, we don't have to worry about that. You know,
she says, I believe the path ahead is clear, and we may actually get out of this alive.
I mean, could you say the coast is clear?
She laughs, and she gestures out to the waterline, and she says, yes, the coast entirely. But then she's cut off by the sound of a heartbeat. Butylene, it's coming from the...
My purse.
Purse, where you put the Kraken Priest's heart. It's a thumping... thumping, thumping, that's growing louder. You can feel it pulsing in that purse where you put it. You can see there's a thick black stain that's starting to swell over the material. Mm-hmm. And then you all hear music. Belfry puts her hand to her head, looking concerned. You can all hear it, the same unsettling eldritch murmur that you heard in the Kraken Priest's lair. It's getting louder. It's getting clearer. And the rumble of thunder from the distance grows. There's a flash of lightning from the thunderstorm far out at sea. And the waves on the beach grow still and stop. The ocean is as smooth as glass, and then the waves begin to break backwards.
Uh-oh.
Run.
Rising up, crashing backwards into the ocean, far out at sea, you see the water swell upward into undulating hills, building up and pulling back from the beach to expose rotting fish, massive clusters of seaweed. The swell of water grows taller, building into a towering mountain on the horizon, bolts of lightning crackling down from the clouds. The music in your heads is deafening now. It's painfully ringing through your mind, and a message forms in your thoughts. Not in words, but in an assault of images. You see a vision of colossal underwater beast, unfathomably huge. Teeth and tentacles, scales, poisonous barbs, clouds of venom, crackling electrical bolts. You see the ziggurat on the central island. You see the moon spinning through a cycle and then landing on its fullest phase. Then tentacles slithering up onto land from the dark sea. You see magma bursting from the earth, an enormous creature emerging onto land, crushing and killing everything in its path. An idea wordlessly forms in your mind.
By the next full moon, bring me the power that lies in the ziggurat, or else the island will be destroyed.
The music wanes. The beat of the heart slows. The surface of the ocean settles back down, becoming flat and still, but far out on the horizon, the crackling lightning and the thunder rages on.
Whoa.
So we got to throw a full moon party and destroy a beast. This sounds like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of a thing. I'm loving for this.
Can you use shape water to...
No. No.
And we're going to leave it there.
Oh, my God.
Hey, this is your DM, Matt. Big thanks to Kickstarter backer Jimmy Chan for naming Jim Jim, to Brian Chung for naming Sir Throbberdon, to Lamont DuPont for naming Ellen, to Ellen Sweeney for naming Lamont DuPont, the Discord chat for choosing Ellen's deity, David Bowie, and as always, big thanks to season sponsor Russell Bloomdale, thanks to Sam Antonioli and Major Scales for original music, thanks to Chad Sell for podcast art, thanks to James for voicing the characters and making the show alongside me, and this episode contains the track The Lift by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Thanks to the Queens, Butalino Kipple, Arsenicki, and Freya Love. You can find them all on the internet. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a review. That is super, super helpful, and it really lifts our spirits. Listener First Mate Four Fingers wrote, I can't wait for the chance to see them do this live, punny, witty, and perfectly campy. One of my favorite shows. Kickstarter and Patreon backers, you get bonus episodes and playable content. Head over to patreon.com/queensofadventure to support the show and get access to even more stuff. Chat with us between episodes on Twitter and on Discord. You can find links to those at queensofadventure.com. And until next time, sissy that roll.